You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, I think you'd agree with me once again that social media has come a long way since its inception. As more and more people use social media platforms, businesses have realized the potential of social media marketing to connect with the customers, drive engagement, and increase revenue in the ultimate end. With the rise of new social media platforms and the changing behavior of users, the future of digital marketing is poised for significant changes. Marketing specialist Parker Khumalo joins us then to have this beautiful conversation and is already on the line. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me once again.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. How was your day?
It's been great. Thanks. And yourself? And yours?
Mine was okay. When you say it's been good, it means, like I always say, you have made money today.
No, not really.
How can it then be good when there was no money made?
we just thank the Lord for giving us another day.
You know? Yeah, that's also a very, very important point. Yeah, thank you so much, man, for your time. Really, really appreciate it. And we're having a really interesting conversation, by the way. And I find it interesting because I think I'm a social media novice, particularly then when it comes to this marketing stuff. There's lots of things that I personally don't know. And yes, I might be on social media and all that, but yeah, there are people like yourselves who know how to monetize this thing. And I always listen and I'm like, yo, this thing sounds like a whole lot of work. But before we get into that, for our listeners who may not have joined us on the last conversation, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, particularly in this space?
Okay. I'm Parker Khumalo. I've got a marketing business, Leeds Tech Company.
Yeah.
We specialize in digital marketing and traditional marketing also.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. This marketing thing, Konje, if I remember our conversation last time, has got levels. We've got above the line, below the line. Is there such a thing in social media, or social media is categorized differently?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
So in marketing, right, if I remember our conversation very well, you've got above the line, below the line in your traditional marketing, right? So what I wanted to understand is there such a thing in social media and digital space? And this has been something that I was thinking about as I was just preparing for our conversation today. But before we delve even into our conversation, social media, does it work differently?
Social media, does it work differently to...
Above the line, below the line, that type of marketing, which you find, if I'm not wrong, if I remember our conversation last time, that you find in traditional marketing, right? So above the line being your TV, you know, your radio and all those sort of stuff.
Oh, yes. With social media, no, it doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I thought I was cracking my head over nothing there during the day. Thank you for taking me out of my misery, because I was like, is there such a thing as above and below the line when it comes to social media, particularly marketing? Yeah. Like I said, I'm a novice in this space. And so for me, I am definitely here to learn. But what are we talking about then, Parker, when we talk about social media marketing? What exactly is that animal?
Okay, so when we're talking about social media marketing, we're talking about the use of social media platforms to promote products, services, and content to engage or attract a target audience.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so social media platforms.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So we use, we can be use of text, we use images and videos also. When you are creating that kind of content.
And videos? Do they also fall under images?
Yes. Videos and images also. Yeah. That's also, yeah.
Okay. So
it can be anything that can use to promote a product.
As long as it's on some social media platform.
Exactly, yeah, that's correct.
While you are there, by the way, you say it's text, it's images, and it's videos. Do you find that there's different levels of engagements? In other words, do you find that when you post a text, people engage a lot less than when you do a video, a picture, or how does it work, this thing? Because I've always wondered, you know, we read we read on social media, right? And some people are like, yo, such a long piece. Can tell you this social media thing, what is it for? Is it for images only? Or how do people relate to the format in which they choose to engage, sell, market their products?
It's usually these days, the most effective way is through images.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of people have images or videos because people want to actually see the product. And see how it's used. Or maybe if you are doing installations, someone would want to see maybe your company actually doing the job instead of maybe just writing, we offer solar products or whatever. Yeah. You actually want to see your company hands-on being the one that is doing that, providing that service.
So through the pictures and videos, it makes it easy. So how has social media then affected the marketing landscape since its inception? And this is why I suppose I was asking about the above the line, below the line in traditional marketing. How has social media changed the marketing landscape?
Social media has had a great impact in the marketing landscape. You know, one of the points that I can give you now is increased reach and accessibility. Mm-hmm. You know, social media platforms now and have enabled businesses to market on to global audiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now maybe it's unlike before, traditional marketing would make it very hard for maybe someone to market a product in China. Right now you can get an ad on social media from China directly, and you order the product and it gets shipped to you in SA, the site. So the social media has made it very, very, very effective.
Okay. Has it not affected your traditional marketing space, though?
Has it affected it in a way of being effective? If you can say, put it in that way, yes. It has taken over because everybody is on social media right now.
Mm.
So it's way more effective compared to traditional marketing.
Oh, okay. All right. And I'm asking because I think, you know, when you look at it, just thinking about it as well, people who work in the marketing space who have, you know, kind of immersed themselves in the traditional marketing, you know, platforms, methods and all, will probably say, I know this social media thing has just become a bit of a drag. You don't find that?
They'll say this social media thing has become a what? I didn't get
A bit of a drag, you know, people who are more traditional in their marketing approach. Because you are saying that it has actually had some good impact. But I was just thinking, Khori, is that the same feeling across with everyone in the marketing space? Or do you find that there are some people who are still traditionalists in the marketing space and so they believe in the still old traditional markets, marketing platforms, which they think are positive? Or are you finding that the whole world is kind of moving, even your traditional people, moving to social media?
Yes. But traditionally, still, a lot of people underestimate traditional marketing.
Yes.
But it's still very much effective. You know, I was giving an example. I don't know if it was you that I was giving an example the other day.
Yeah.
Is that now people have in-store agents, you know, like Vanish or companies. They're actually companies now, marketing agencies that provide marketing agents. You know, their specialty is just having marketing agents, you know, sales people who will go there in the store, wear a t-shirt maybe for Vanish, they'll have a sample product, you know, and they'll be like, mama, try this, they'll try that thing, their lady will fall in love, you know, they'll start buying product from there, people get free samples, free testers. So I feel like it's still very, very much effective. It's still very, very much effective.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe I'm still a bit of a traditionalist myself. And I really want to touch and feel and see this thing that I'm buying, you know?
Yeah.
So that I can make my decision whether I want to buy it or not. But that's an interesting one. I think maybe we need to move a little bit or maybe find a hybrid approach to marketing where you still use some of, like you said, it's still powerful to use some of the traditional marketing platforms and fuse them with social media marketing and all those sort of stuff. Now, I want us...
Oh, sorry, but I was saying, yes, that's what companies are doing right now. well, as you say, the hybrid approach.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of mixing a traditional and digital.
Yeah. Okay. Speak to us then about the idea of influencers. As someone who's an expert in this field, you know, I look at this particular one and I think it's a great approach, right? When you have influencers, when you have celebrities, or you have some sort of well-known opinion speakers, leaders, sort of embracing, you know, a particular product or a particular service. I mean, these people come with high social value, I suppose, and they can influence a certain target market. And I think we've seen that with one sneaker brand in South Africa, for example, where after a certain celebrity had, you know, endorsed their sneaker, all of a sudden it shot through the roofs and people wanted that particular sneaker. That approach, how good, how effective, and do you find that it actually works most of the time, or are there issues there?
Yeah, no, I feel like influencer marketing is one of the most effective marketing strategies right now, you know, because influencers come with credibility and trust.
Yeah,
you know? People tend to trust recommendations from the influencers that they admire.
Yeah,
you know, see someone using maybe a certain cologne or whatever, I'd be like, okay, he uses it. Let me also try using the product because I admire this person so much. You know, status, so you know, and you admire all of that, so it's still very much effective.
And don't people feel like maybe they are being coerced into it? Because if we are being bombarded, now I love the person, I follow the person and all that, but now often we're being bombarded with this product that he or she is endorsing. Do you find that people don't feel like, hey, this is too much now?
Yeah, sometimes people do find it too much. I saw that The Rock was promoting a shampoo.
Hey, okay.
He's got a shampoo, and the fact that he's bald is, a lot of people were making very funny comments that is now at promoting this shampoo, and he himself doesn't have hair.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary. A lot of people just felt like it's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
For this promoting shampoo, you know, can't you find something else?
Yes.
So, of course, people would certainly get annoyed at some point, you know.
Yeah. So as someone who works also in the lead space, creating leads, and I think you said that you think this is one of the most effective ways in which to market people's brands. How are those deals structured without necessarily naming names? Because I had someone, an opinion speaker, by the way, who recommended that, look, man, just give them a share of that particular product or service that they're offering. And most influencers and celebrities would be willing. And if they take a cut, say 1 or 2% for every sale, it kind of makes sense. Is that how they are normally structured?
Yes, that's correct. That's how normally structured. But if people these days, someone can agree to a once-off payment. You know, just talk to someone, tell them, you know, I can give you a certain amount. Can you promote this product for me?
Yeah.
And then, you know, because also it becomes very hard to track, you know, in terms of how is this client coming through? Is this client really a result of, I mean,
yes.
I'm not going to go and contact the company directly,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, really a good deal for the influencer. If I was the influencer, I wouldn't agree to that. But, you know, it depends. It depends how it's...
Yeah. And like you're saying, should business people should explore this because it still has value, right? Even though it might have issues here and there, it still has value. The influencer obviously wants a once-off payment, 1 million for the endorsement and whatever and whatever. And I don't want this thing, like you said, of having to follow you, who made a sale, you know, and all that. I just want my 1 million and then I promote your thing for X number of days or weeks on my social media. Whatever happens after that happens. But let's talk about now the business people who are listening to the show and thinking, but where's value for me? How do I structure this deal in such a way that I also get value? Because if I'm going to sign off a 1 million rand and it falls flat, then the influencer is the one that got money and won on this particular deal.
You know, you have to do some sort of analysis. You know, you see how many followers does this person have?
Okay.
What's the reach that I might I might get, you know, in return of my investment, because you're in, that's an investment that you're putting, that 1 million of, you know, you're not just giving, and you don't want to just give it to an influencer. You're actually investing. You must get your return on investment on that. So I don't know, honestly. So it's very, very tricky.
It's very, very tricky. Yeah. And while we are there, Parker, because there's a comment that just came through, I just want to, you know, give a prelude to that comment as well. Is there a difference between a celebrity and an influencer?
Is there a difference between a celebrity
and an influencer?
I think there is. I feel like an influencer is more dedicated to social media platforms, and they are, you know, they are known for their lifestyle, and their collabs that they do with certain brands. As a celebrity is someone who has maybe achieved recognition for something in maybe music, you know. So yeah, I feel like there is certainly a big difference there.
Yeah, I
feel like there is a, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because mostly, even if you look at it, influencers, if you think of an influencer, you only think of someone who's, you know, in social media with a lot of followers and social media. Whereas a celebrity can be your singer, your rapper.
Okay, so your thoughts here on this comment. It says, I feel like influencers are a balance. That is influencers, right? Are a balance between being aspirational figures, of course, but unlike celebrities, they are more relatable because they are regular people. When an influencer is showing you a product they got from a local beauty supply store, it feels a little bit more realistic. So that's what I was saying. Maybe there's a difference between the two. I suppose the essence of the comment is that people can relate to, influencers because they are from, you know, they are here, as opposed to celebrities and whatever product that influencers, try to promote, at least from the local beauty store. It's something that people can relate with. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, that's what I said. I think I spoke about credibility and trust. That's why I said, remember, people tend to trust the recommendations from the influencers that they admire, you know. Also, relatability, you know, influencer often feels more authentic and relatable to the consumer.
Yes, you know? Yes.
It feels more like a genuine recommendation. You know, they take their time. You'll see them putting the product on. You actually, the daily product that they use.
Yeah. No, I must try being an influencer. I'm going to Zalinto, get ready with me, you know, or try and do the the one way you try at some other product, and hopefully the manufacturers of that product will see it. Oh, okay, that's interesting. Hey, but yeah, no, I'm an novice in this social media space. Like I said, a bit of a tough one, that one. Yeah, because it really needs dedicated work.
They're making some money.
Yeah, no, definitely. Talk about privacy and I suppose data collection then, especially if you are an influencer and promoting a product or whatever. Are there data and privacy concerns that maybe people should be aware of, particularly customers, in these type of marketing strategies that some brands might want to use in platforms? Should we be worried about our data?
Oh, yes, yes, definitely, you know, privacy breaches and data leaks should be a major concern to everybody. You know, there have been high-profile data breaches for big companies like Yahoo and Facebook. When personal information is compromised, it can lead to a lot of things, you know, like identity theft, financial fraud, and which can be harmful to individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So this data collection is definitely a major concern.
So how do I protect myself as the one who's following the influencer who's marketing or promoting a certain product? I don't share my, I can like and all that, not share my details, or how do I protect myself?
Yeah, I feel like people should also be careful where they share their information online, you know, or you share your personal information. People should be more careful, yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, especially there are some websites you just visit, like maybe to be editing a video or
Yeah.
whatever. Put your personal information. Next minute, you know, you start getting maybe used your original email. Next minute, now you're that getting a lot of things you did not sign up for, you know.
Yay.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden
Yes.
they're appearing on my feed.
Yes. You know, it's a really a problem.
Yeah, it's a very difficult one. Okay, as we round it up, what are some of the trends that you are seeing both in the immediate and in the distant future? I suppose around social media marketing, what does the future look like? What does the immediate present, immediate future, and maybe the even distant one, 2050, if we ever get there, what does it look like?
Okay, like we said, technological advancements, I remember one time we spoke about the use of augmented reality and virtual reality
Yes.
in social media marketing, you know, allowing brands to create even massive experiences for their potential clients or audiences. So yes, the future looks
It looks quite good and promising in this space. Okay, seems like we lost Tupaka there. I'm not sure what's happening there. Hi, Paka, are you back? Okay, so it looks like he is not with us. Let's see if we can get him on a different line. But that was an interesting one. To say the future actually looks good in this particular field of social media marketing. Let's see if we can get him to wrap up on this one in terms of some of the trends that are emerging in this space. Okay, so seems like we won't be able to complete this one. But I hope that you have gathered just a few things for yourself on that particular topic. And not myself, like I said, I'm a novice in this space, but I do kind of acknowledge the effect that social media has had in the in terms of traditional marketing and disrupting the traditional marketing space. The only thing that I have an issue with is privacy, because some of the without necessarily naming the social media platforms, some people have been burned. You buy a product there, you think it is that particular product, and you pay for it, because it's an online traditional, I suppose, transaction, but it never makes it to you, because yeah, it is on that particular platform. So we're gonna do that one, and we need to be particularly safe. But thank you so much, Parker. I really appreciate your insights this evening.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.